So we're going to bring on Will Stewart right now. Thank you, sir, for your time. And let's analyze a few things, Will.
All right. Sounds good to me.
The first thing I want to ask you, you know, Virginia Tech went 11-2. It's only the third time in school history it's won 11 games, all with a Vic as the starting quarterback. Finished in the top 10 in the rankings. Pretty darn good season, all things considered. It's the weirdest offseason I've ever been through because it doesn't feel like a top 10 offseason should feel. Now, we know the major reason for that, but I think there was it went beyond that, too, what with the games against the Florida school. Am I crazy? Am I alone here?
No, not at all, Mike. You know, first of all, let me make a preemptive apology to your listeners because I was quite sick a couple of nights ago. Lost a couple of pounds, and I'm still not completely sharp. So if I seem like I'm not sharp, you know, that's the reason why.
At least you have an excuse. I don't have an excuse.
So what were we talking about?
No, anyway.
I'm just kidding. You know, it's kind of hard to put your finger on, you know. I mean, you pointed out the obvious things. It's Florida State and Miami and how things went against them. But I think an outgrowth of that, Mike, is that it activated every Hokie fan's deep-seated hidden fear that Virginia Tech had not made as much progress as they thought they had made as a program, you know. And I just mean that in general. You know, they've more or less not been a real strong program since about the year 2000, since Michael Vick left. They struggled through 2001, 2002, 2003. Then they had a great 2004, and everybody thought, okay, we're back where we belong. And, you know, I think they're just having doubts after the way the games went against the big teams this year. And, you know, the other thing is, Mike, I think that if other things were going well, maybe people wouldn't be so grumpy right now. What I mean by that is it's been a terrible January for Virginia Tech sports. You know, you had the Marcus Vick stuff and what a mess that caused from the football side of things. And then, of course, from the basketball side of things, the men's team is just, I don't want to say they're going into a tailspin because it's not like they're getting kicked all over the court, but, you know, they're losing every game they play.
Still 0-5, yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you've covered with Chris Horn in recruiting that recruiting hasn't gone well for about 3 weeks now. You know, it's one recruit after another verbaling to other schools and not Virginia Tech. So it's just been a bad January, and I think that hasn't helped anybody get over the football season at all. You know, by this time last year in basketball, I think they were 4-2 in the ACC and creating quite a stir. And there's just nothing to take anybody's mind off of things this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had not thought about the other factors unrelated to what's going on with football, but we'll talk more about, you know, the basketball teams, I think, are combined 1-9, the men and women in the ACC, and, you know, Chris and I have gone over, the latest being Hutch Eckerson, who was my favorite player by name. So, Now, this schedule that came out today is also, I read a couple posts off your board when I was talking about it, some being, yeah, hey, what's the problem here? And others going, that's it, I'm embarrassed, I'm turning in my season tickets. Now, my theory is I've got the menu, you know, one from column A, one from B, one from C, one from D, that if you're playing an A, a Southern Cal, then you can play a Florida A&M. I got no problem with that. There is no A, so I got a real problem with the D being Northeastern. What are your thoughts on the schedule?
You know, it's going to sound like blasphemy to say this for me, you know, what I do for a living, but if my company didn't pay for season tickets for me, I might seriously think about not buying them this year and, you know, just trying to pick them up piecemeal going along the way. It's just, it's really rough to think about. You know, the home games are Northeastern, Duke, Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Southern Miss, Clemson, Kent State, and Virginia. That's 8 home games. You know, and Mike, if I didn't live 20 minutes from, I live in Radford, 20 minutes from Blacksburg. If I didn't live that close to Blacksburg, I'd really think hard about whether or not I wanted to spend all that money, which is probably going to be close to $350 for each season ticket, plus traveling for a hotel room, you know, plus just all the time and effort that's involved in going to see a home game. You know, I'd think twice about it. You know, fortunately, I live close, and the company buys my tickets, so I'll be there. But you know, you got to admit, as a fan, it's just not really appealing.
Very hard to get up for Northeastern. I remember the one thing, and I praised Mr. Weaver, and I know you think he's done some good things and disagree with some of the things he's done. I just don't understand. He said if he was going to play one double A's more and with 12 games you can do it, he's going to keep it in the region. And he's got William & Mary. He played JMU a couple years ago. I think App State is on the future schedule. That's all in the region. Northeastern's in Boston. I've been there with Richmond. They play on a high school field in Boston, so I guess they're going to use that sum of money to upgrade their facility. Why are you sending the money to Boston?
Not only are they a bad 1AA team, they're a bad 1AA team. They were 2-9 last year, and I don't have their schedule in front of me, but some of the teams they lost to, it's eyebrow raisers, you know, teams you've barely heard of. Maybe you've seen them scroll across the bottom of the screen on ESPN on a given Saturday, but I don't know, Mike. I can't explain it. You know, we've heard Mr. Weaver say quite a few things about scheduling over the years. I know he's got a pretty tight set of constraints under which he will agree to, you know, to go travel to see somebody else. You know, and it's been so much said over the years, I can't give them to you off the top of my head because I didn't have a chance to do my research, but he's just pretty picky about, you know, the deals that he arranges, and that plus the combination of, you know, supposedly, Mike, teams don't want to travel to Blacksburg. We hear that over and over. That's one of the common excuses that's given for why Virginia Tech has trouble scheduling football teams. You know, so I think the tight set of constraints Mr. Weaver set on things, plus other teams, legendary or reported, you know, lack of desire to come play in Blacksburg, I think those things are combining to just leave them with very few options. And, you know, I don't know, I'm baffled by Northeastern versus, you know, William & Mary, Richmond, you know, Hampton. You got plenty of 1AA schools in the area. You know, why not play one of them?
I agree. I mean, I understand you are going to play one every now and then, and I understand the difficulties. That's an almost impossible puzzle. I mean, you get it put together and somebody calls and says, you know, I can't make it. Or the other way, which Virginia Tech did to LSU. I mean, it just happens in that game. But you got to be able to come up with Northeastern. It's just very difficult to take that one seriously. And
well, you know, the thing about Jim Weaver is that ultimately, you know, he's not a real forthcoming guy, you know, and maybe he is to the people that he's close to, but not to the fans or to the media. I think he keeps a lot hidden. So my perception of him is that push comes to shove, he'll schedule for the money, you know, because a home game is about $1.5 million extra dollars in revenue, and, you know, that's a lot of money for facilities and coaches' salaries and scholarships and those sorts of things. So, you know, you look around the ACC, Mike, Virginia Tech is the only school in the ACC with 8 home games next year. Most of the others have 7 home games and 5 road games.
Which is reasonable.
That's reasonable. There are a couple who have, and Virginia's one of them, who have 6 home games and 6 road games. And that's a little baffling. You know, I mean, that's, in this day and age of 12 games, you should have 7 at home. But, you know, when Virginia Tech is the only school that seems to be unwilling to go somewhere, that's when you got to start wondering, you know, what's really driving the decision making here? We've heard the public statements, but really, and it is a puzzle with all these different things he's got to put together, but you just wonder, you know, you got to wonder. And hey, you know, since we're not there with him every day trying to do this job, we can't really say.
Well, I think the ACC got a little bit of revenge for that one with that short. I know Frank hates short weeks, and he's got to come back off of a Southern Miss game that, to me, is the best of the non-league games, and then play Clemson 5 days later. So,
yeah.
Play your Northeastern, but you better buckle it up twice in 5 days, son.
I think that Clemson actually plays 5 days before they have to travel to Blacksburg, and there are a number of other ACC teams that only get a 5-day layoff. I mean, I thought before they have to play on a Thursday. I thought they had perfected this, you know, 12 days off before you play on Thursday routine, but apparently not. There's a lot of 5-day layoffs going around, and, you know, now that I think about it, Mike, they've gone to a 12-game schedule. There's one less bye week.
Right. So plus, you've got that wall at the end with the championship game, and you have no flexibility.
That's right.
You know, West Virginia and South Florida played their hurricane game the same weekend that Tech and Florida State played in the championship game.
Yeah.
The ACC can't do that. And remember, last year they had to take a weight game and move it from like a Thursday to here. And, you know, they have there's a wall. You got to be done, so there's less flexibility.
So now that I think about it, that's the explanation. You only get one bye week, and, you know, like you said, you can't schedule out beyond the last week of November. And most, you know, I'd have to research this, Mike, but I think most teams in the ACC that play a Thursday game will actually play 2 Thursday games. Because, as you know, they have a certain requirement to satisfy ESPN with their new schedule. It's a lot of Thursday night games. And there are many teams in the conference that aren't willing to play on Thursday nights. So the teams that are, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Clemson, I guess Wake Forest, you know, those get handed a double dose instead of just one. Instead of spreading it around the league, the teams that are willing to take it on the chin wind up taking it on the chin twice instead of just once.
Yeah, take 2 hits for the league. Hey, one more football question, Will. I don't want to take a break and come back and call a little basketball. You mentioned recruiting a bit. I was telling a caller before I brought you on, I can't get a real grip on it this year because when I had Chris on and we brought up his state list, I'm like, what? I mean, I knew a lot of kids were going out of state, but 9 out of the top 10 and like 13 of the 22 who've committed so far are going out of state. And even on his close but no cigar guys that he almost ranked, guys are going everywhere. So, you know, when I'm talking to Bill D at Phoebus or Mark Bendorf at Robinson or, you know, the Cox brothers at Deep Creek or Lou Johnston at Western Branch, coaches I know that give me a fair assessment of the talent, I can get a grip on it. But I got no clue on some of these out-of-state guys. And just saying, it seems like for every time they get DJ Parker's brother to commit, Hutch Eckerson goes to South Carolina. Half the time I think, yeah, you know, they're doing okay. And some things I go, yeah, I don't know, they're doing so well.
Yeah, it's, you know, you gave me a heads up today that we were going to talk about this tonight. So I sat down and did a little bit of research. And, you know, they're Virginia Tech is not, if you look at it from a numbers standpoint, both in-state and overall, and you evaluate a class in terms of recruiting stars, you know, star rankings of the players, which is all that we have right now, Mike, you know, the simple fact of the matter is that Virginia Tech is not doing as well on paper this year. You know, it's just that simple. They typically don't get five-star guys. You know, we had Macho Harris as a five-star in 2005. They get a good number of four-star guys, though, and, you know, I mapped it out from 2003 through so far this year, and, you know, in 2003, 2004, 2005, they got 7, 5, and 5 four-star guys. This year so far, only 3. The last, you know, the 3 years prior, in terms of three-star guys, they got 10, 8, and 14. This year, only 8. In terms of two-star guys, and guys who are so far off the radar they don't even have a star ranking, they got 6, 3, and 5, and this year they've got 7. So when you look at it from a star rating standpoint, you know, the quality of the recruit from that rating standpoint is definitely sliding down. That's not your imagination. As far as the in-state stuff, you know, there's particulars to each individual player. You know, you can sit here and talk about Whitmore. You can sit here and talk about Harvin and McDaniel and Chris Bell and those guys, but, you know, it's a mess this year. One of the things I took a look at, Mike, was, you know, how many players as Virginia Tech signed in-state, you know. We have passed Virginia Tech football recruiting classes all the way back to 1988. And, you know, so far they've got 5 commitments in-state. And, Mike, that's nowhere, it's not even close. If they finish with 5 guys in-state, that's going to be the fewest they've had since 1988. You know, by a long shot, pretty much. They get at least in double digits. You know, I'm sitting here with, since 1994, they've only had 2 years where they didn't get at least 10 guys in state, you know, and I'm talking just in state, not out of the top 25, so.
Well, one year they had like 16 of 20, and of course, I've used this number before because it's mind-boggling, like 89 of 106 at one point on the active roster this year were from Virginia.
Yeah.
And not anymore. I mean, and they're not going to get too many more from the state because of the, I think the top 11 now are committed, and there's 2 guys, you know, it's the lower end of the top 30 that's still available, and Tech usually aims a little higher than that. Yeah, it's weird.
It's not much there, you know, and the class this is starting to remind me of is the 2000 class. The 2000 class, they had 21 recruits. It looks like they'll sign about that many this year. You know, if they get 3 or 4 more verbals, they'll have about 21 guys. And that year, Mike, you know, they had 7 guys in state, and they had 14 out of state. And that was the year, of course, the class that followed their trip to the national championship game. And they had a really bad January. They got 2 commitments in the entire month of January, 1 from Jim Davis out of Fork Union, which turned out to be a good get.
That turned out real well.
And, you know, I think the other one was Jason Lawless or something like that. But that was a year where they got 4 of the top 10, and then after that they got almost nothing. And it's just, you know, that class, by any way you want to look at it, just wasn't a good class for them. It didn't get many players in state, and then a lot of the guys that got out of state didn't work. Yes, and that's what it's bringing back memories of, is that limp to the finish line, whole bunch of guys going elsewhere, you know, and not getting a lot of guys in state.
Well, I'm real interested to see. A week from today, I'll be in Blacksburg. They play Georgia Tech in basketball Tuesday, and I'm going to stay over. And Frank's comment is always, well, I'll take mine and go play theirs. And I'm real eager to see what he has to say this year. Anyway, let's take a break. Will Stewart, the general manager of Tech Sideline, with me. When we come back, I want to talk basketball, maybe a little bit of both genders if we have time.
Mrs. Jacoby, I want to know where you are at all times.
Yes, Your Honor.
Here, wear this ankle bracelet.
Okay.
And this shock collar.
Ow!
Put this cowbell around your neck.
Now, wait.
Now, paint this tar on yourself and roll in these feathers.
This cannot be legal.
But it sure is fun.
Eating in tonight? Pick up a large order of wings or party platters from Buffalo Wild Wings. Take the flavor home.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest growing career fields. Now is a good time for you to develop your skills. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call 1-800-851-4499 for an ITT Tech brochure. That's 1-800-851-4499.
Now LeBron hammers a dunk home.
Sunday, it's an ESPN Radio NBA doubleheader as the Suns face LeBron James and the Cavaliers, followed by the Heat and Rockets.
Lobs over the top to Shaq for the two-hand pass.
The NBA, Sunday afternoon at 12:35 on ESPN Radio 950.
Your money. You work so hard to get it, but it's time to put your money to work for you. When it comes to your finances, you need the guidance of proven professionals, a voice that stands out among the crowd, a firm that adds value to your bottom line. With offices in Richmond and Charlottesville, Kiter Stevens Hurst Gary and Shreves is the largest independent CPA firm based in Richmond. For tax and financial planning, retirement, wealth preservation, education, and estate planning, their team of professionals provide the expertise to help shape your financial decisions with innovative and effective solutions specific to your needs, putting your money to work for you. Kiter Stevens, voted best in tax preparation by Richmond Magazine. Call the Glenn Allen office at 747-0000 or log on at kshgs.com.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Looking for new business and investment possibilities? Shopping for travel bargains. For ideas you can use every day, subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. The Journal uncovers insights and information that help you make better decisions. And when it's time to unwind, there's the new Saturday Weekend Edition. Call now and get 8 weeks for just 38 cents a day. That's 50% off. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the contiguous U.S. only. Call 800-795-0606. That's 800-795-0606 for the
Your
Wall Street Journal.
Your way. At the Richmond Times-Dispatch, readers are our top priority. A recent study recognizes the Times-Dispatch for delivering news to you the way you want it. In print and online, the Times-Dispatch reaches a larger percentage of adults than most other major newspapers in the United States. The Times-Dispatch puts readers first by producing a newspaper of the highest quality and integrity, in print and online. Get your news delivered your way. The Richmond Times-Dispatch and TimesDispatch.com.
On ESPN Radio.
A two-year-old profanity-laced recording that denigrates women and minorities surfaced on the web. The athletic department is outraged and highly disappointed. Many of you have said, Colin, this happens everywhere. Colin, this is not a Miami problem. You know what? Just because something happens everywhere doesn't make it right. And sometimes you need smart people who are more evolved and can figure that out.
Make your opinion part of the herd on 888-SAY-ESPN.
You know what you're saying about the Miami thing. Rape is terrible, but I don't understand why we have ESPN commercials with little girls getting in trouble by our teachers because all she talks about is ESPN Radio, Hargrove, saving the Indians and all that.
How old are you?
31.
How'd you get that dumb? I feel bad just for saying that, but what, Mike Hargrove, ESPN Radio commercials, and a Miami rap song. How you can connect them, I have no idea. If you don't see the difference between that story and this, I can't help you. I'm not a therapist. I'll just pretend the call never happened.
The Herd on ESPN Radio.
The latest scores and highlights from the world of sports. Every night with Game Night here on ESPN Radio 950.
All right, Mike Harris of the Times-Dispatch back with Matt Joseph in the ESPN Radio's 950 studios. Another tech beat is flying by, so I want to get back to my guest, Will Stewart, the general manager of TechSideline.com, as quickly as possible. He's been a great source of information, as always. I do, though, want to, before we get on to a little basketball discussion, Will and I talked about the schedule before the break. And one of the things I like about TechSideline, in addition to Chris's recruiting coverage and Chris Coleman and Will's great articles and commentary, message boards are a part of life now, folks. A lot of people hate them, a lot of people love them, but they're everywhere. I'd say, you got your share of buffoons on all of them, but the one on TechSideline, it's the best in the business. Will and his crew do a good job of controlling the troublemakers, and you get a lot of good information and insight. And you have a poster. I will name him, not by real name, but I want to give him credit for this one, R.E.E. Stewart. I don't know if it's Ree Stewart or what. Mm-hmm. While we were away, Will, he posted, the teams we play out of conference combined for 9 wins against 1A competition. Here's the kicker. USM had 6 of them.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, so that's a great number he dug up. I want to give him credit for that. That says a lot. Let's move on. Basketball, Duke in town tomorrow night, one of Tech's great athletic moments in history last year when that came. That came off a 35-point loss at Duke. This year was a heartbreaker, but it's just a different feel. And, I know it's frustrating for Tech fans because this is a year when the ACC isn't as good. This team could legitimately be a top four, but I wrote a story tomorrow where I talked to Jamon Gordon. And he said that the team is still feeling the effects of that Dockery shot. And what he said, his quote was, who knows how different our season would have been if we'd won. And I mean, do you think that game is still lingering, or is there something else, a problem or the problem? I mean, that's got to – I walked away from that game thinking, they're going to come away feeling good, but I can see where he's coming from, that maybe that's got to be so deflating.
Well, you can sit and point to all the off-the-court stuff and some of the things that have happened on the court, as being the reasons why they're 0-5 in the ACC right now. But I know that as an observer of Virginia Tech basketball, Mike, and as a fan of Virginia Tech basketball, I am not over that shot that Dockery made. And I'll give you an example. I'm sitting there watching Georgetown beat Duke, the other day, and it came down to Duke had the ball with 5 seconds left to go. They were down 3 points. And what happens? Palace dribbles the ball up the floor, dribbles into traffic, dribbles off his foot. So I went on our message board and I said, did you like that? Somehow they can complete a 50-foot pass and make a 40-foot shot in 1.6 seconds against Virginia Tech. But 5 seconds ago against Georgetown, their point guard dribbles the ball off his foot.
Yeah, where was that on December 4th?
So, yeah, my point is, it's 6 weeks later and I'm still dwelling on that. And I've been sitting here watching ESPN tonight. I know you've been in the studio and haven't had a chance to see it. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I've seen that 40-footer 10 times, Mike.
Well, that's kind of how I led the story tomorrow, that, the great thing about all these highlight shows is if you're in one of them, you can see it again and again and again, but there's a flip side. And Gordon says, man, I've seen that shot 59 times. He said, every time they start talking about Duke, you just know what's coming.
Yeah, and you take that and you add it into the slippery shoes and the tight net, and nobody can make a shot in the clutch, and nobody from the other team can miss a shot in the clutch, and it just piles up, and, I still think there's a lingering hangover, and this may go on, all season long, unless perhaps they can exercise that demon tomorrow night.
Yeah, last year was kind of Murphy's Law in reverse, where a lot of things went right, and they got all those things you mentioned, the key play, that great hustle by Jeff King, hitting the floor, and then getting the ball to Dixon in the corner for that three-pointer against Duke, and then Dowdell answering Redick, and then in the last seconds, Redick not even getting a shot. And this year it's just been the opposite. But I'm curious, do you think it can be fixed this season? Or, there's no options. Seth said after the game, he was furious at Maryland. They're not, Whitten Witherspoon came back and had 2 real good games. And then I think he's given them 3 points or 2 points in the last 2 games. But what do you do? There are no options for depth. You got no flexibility with the lineup.
Well, we ran some numbers on the team about a week ago. And, all last season the line was that they had no depth. Well, Collins, Gordon, and Dowdell are all playing more minutes this year than they played last, Mike. It's gotten even worse. you know, last year they had Marquee Cook that they would go to, and of course they had, oh, I can't remember right off the top of my head. You know, they had enough guys that they were spreading minutes around, and, you know, this year it's actually even worse. They just don't have any options off the bench. And, you know, you ask me if it can get better. My answer is, you know, if they could just get some traction, you know, just have something go right for them, because they're putting forth the effort, and, you know, they're doing a lot of the things that they need to do to win ballgames. Now, they're also not doing a lot of things you need to do to win ballgames, like shooting better and shooting free throws better. They're not doing those things well, but they're winning the turnover battles. I mean, you sit down and you look at the matchups on paper between Tech and Duke, and it's an even matchup. You know, Tech is better athletically. A lot of the turnover and assists and rebounding numbers are very similar. But the one thing that's different is that Duke shoots the ball much better. They shoot 5 or 6% better from the field. They shoot 5 or 6% better from three-point range, and, you know, another 5 or 6% better from the free throw line. So, you know, can it get better? Yeah, it can get better, Mike, if they just have something good happen. You know, because if you remember last year, at the end of the year, you know, they had a couple of road wins early in the year, but by the end of the year, they were gassed on the road. They couldn't do anything. And they were getting by at home on pure emotion. You know, they were just playing in front of the home crowd, giving it everything they had, and winning ball games like against Duke and against Maryland. But, you know, I think they can recreate that this year if they can just have something good happen. You know, I don't think it's totally unreasonable at all to think that they can beat Duke tomorrow night. You know, Duke's, like I said, it's a matchup issue. Duke doesn't match up well with Virginia Tech. Then they got to go to Wake Forest. I watched Wake Forest last night. They're 1-5 in the ACC. They're just out of sync.
Yeah, it's not happening down there at all.
You know, and then they come home and play Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's busy getting hammered by 17 right now at home.
At home to a Maryland team without McCray. That's another thing. You know, you mentioned everything. Even something like that. Jamon Gordon says to me in the middle of the interview, "Hey, what? How did McCray?" And I said, "You know, Jamon, they're the only school in the world that hadn't started classes yet. Maryland started second semester classes today."
Yeah.
If they were like anybody else, he'd have been out last week. But no, they don't start till today, so he could play. Because the rule is you can play up until the second semester classes start, which was today.
Yeah, you know, and that's the slippery shoes and the tight net and the 40-footer. It's everything going wrong that could possibly go wrong, you know. And let me pull up the box score here, and I'll tell you what McCray did against Virginia Tech. You know, and you tell me if it would have made a difference. At one point, Tech had cut the lead to 6 a couple of times in the second half, and, of course, it's taken USA Today forever to load while it's sitting there on the computer. But, you know, McCray played a key role in that game. And if he's not there, you know, maybe things go differently.
Let me see if I have it handy while you're looking. I have text.
No, he was 9-10 from the free throw line. He had 21 points.
Yeah, no difference at all.
You know, yeah, subtract him from the equation, it would have made a big difference. He was 2-4. They were 3-10 from three-point range, and he had 2 of their 3 three-pointers.
He's a heck of a player. He's a heck of a player. And I know Gary Williams had some comments afterward. He was real incensed that both at himself and McCray, you know, that a senior gets into that position. But, you know, hey, too late to do Tech any good. And, of course, Virginia, the Tech fans will go crazy, you know, and Virginia still has to play him twice without McCray.
Without McCray, that's right.
You know, Virginia's having one of those charm seasons this year. Lato is this year's Greenberg.
Yeah, and, you got to give Virginia credit. I watched him against Virginia Tech and was very impressed with, you know, Jason Kane has just taken a quantum leap in the way he plays. And I love the way they play offense, and they're just, you know, they got something about them this year that they didn't have last year. Number one, good coaching, but, you know, number two, they're tougher, and they have a clutch player in Singletary.
Real clutch player. I was really, real impressed with him. Hey, Tech's other team, I don't get to see the women much because of the schedules. The one day they had a doubleheader, it was a later doubleheader, and I had to go right. But I did, you know, I'm flipping through the channels last week, and I saw, or it was just the other night, the Maryland game. And I'm watching them. It might have been the Virginia-North Carolina men's game when the ticker's updating, and I see, you know, a lead against Wake Forest, smaller, whoops, Wake won. Couldn't get it done. You know, they had that great start out of league, but they're 1-4 in the league the year. I know Beth Duncanberger expected more of a senior team. Do you see the women enough to comment on that? We got about a minute and a half left if you do. If not, we'll talk about something else.
I have not seen them play a whole lot. I saw them play against Boston College, ironically the one ACC game that they won, and ironically the one ACC game they played against a former Big East team. You know, one of the party lines is that this Tech women's team was recruited to play in the Big East, and these players are not fit for Beth's more up-tempo style, or, you know, just the more up-tempo style in the ACC in general, and I think there's some validity to that. But beyond that, Mike, when I saw them in person and people I've talked to that have seen them play, the team defense isn't there like it used to be. They're not tough enough down the stretch on defense. You know, they're losing a lot of games down the stretch. And some of the things that is a little bit alarming is comments you read by the players themselves in the paper. What they said about that Wake Forest game was, well, I guess we just weren't that intense in the second half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we had the intensity in the first half, but we just didn't have it in the second half.
You better bring it all night, ladies.
You know, and that's the hallmarks of what's going on, the lack of good team defense, not really having the speed to play in the ACC, and just not being intense down the stretch and doing what it takes to win down the stretch from a senior-dominated team.
Yeah. Don't understand it. Well, maybe February will be better. You're right. It hadn't been a good January anywhere, but it's almost over. Well, we got to get out of here. The show is over. I appreciate your help as always.
Thanks, Mike.
I hope you feel better. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right.